Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the number four at the Department of Justice continued his relationship with Christopher Steele after Steele was fired by the same department within the FBI.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. As you know, we had a very unique live broadcast yesterday, and we're live again today at 1-800-684-3110 with Mayor Giuliani and my dad discussing specifically the Mueller situation. Today, because there's been so much news in the last 24 hours about how even we got to the point of a Mueller investigation and a special counsel. We know, of course, the Jim Comey stunt with the leaking of documents, but that was not all. There was, you know, we've got Peter Strzok, who we know opened it on the FBI side even before the election had occurred in the summer of 2016. And now we know that Peter Strzok opened that investigation one day, literally, one day after Bruce Orr, the number four at the Department of Justice, and his wife, Nellie Orr, who was working for Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson to put together the dossier, met with Christopher Steele. I think it was the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C. It gets in the news regularly on some salacious issues. But they, so they're there, and they have the meeting. It's documented by emails and text messages from Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele saying it was great to see you and Nellie. So we now know that the relationship between Bruce Orr and his wife was direct with Christopher Steele, and by the way, off Glenn Simpson from Fusion GPS. But literally the next day, this is way before, you know, this is before, it's a year before we get to Mueller. Peter Strzok, who has now has been disgraced by the politicization of his role as an FBI counterintelligence official, one of the lead of that, opens the investigation the next day. What have we also learned? Christopher Steele got fired. I think that sometimes this gets missed in the news. Christopher Steele gets fired by the FBI leading up to, I think, let's see, the specific time. He gets fired in early of 2016, so likely after the election is what they, I mean, there's some time around there. But Peter Strzok, and we have this through emails and text messages, continues working with Christopher Steele through Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr. Now, Bruce Orr, you want to be disgusted a bit, is still at the Department of Justice. Now, he lost his assistant deputy attorney general role, but he is still the head of a division at the Department of Justice, the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. I want to go to Andrew Economo on that. I mean, Andy, that alone, he may have lost, been demoted in the sense of losing that title because of this, because Christopher Steele was told in his separation agreement by the FBI, you're being terminated because you leaked information. You should no longer operate to obtain any intelligence whatsoever on behalf of the FBI. We know he continued. So Bruce Orr gets demoted in the sense of losing a title, but he still oversees the Division of Department of Justice. That is huge.
That astounds me. I cannot imagine that the Department of Justice would continue to keep Bruce Orr in its employment, having disgraced himself by dealing with this spy, ex-spy, whatever you want to call him, and then even after the he is distanced by the government as being an ex-spy, continues his liaison with him, and instead of being terminated and kicked out of the Department of Justice, he's merely demoted, allegedly, and moved to another position, this time still head of an important division within the Justice Department. This is outrageous. It's not the Department of Justice that I know.
We come back. The reporter who broke this news, John Solomon of The Hill, is joining us live here on Jay Sekulow Live, and we are taking your questions, your comments, 1-800-684-3110. Yesterday, we laid out kind of the current, you know, the letter was sent. We're not going to get into, you know, content matters of that back and forth going on with the special counsel. But we're now still learning more information at this date about how even we got to that point. 1-800-684-3110, and we'll be joined by a reporter breaking so much of this news at The Hill, thehill.com. There's John Solomon is joining us live on Jay Sekulow Live when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. Get your questions and comments in now.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A unique aspect yesterday... we had a unique radio broadcast with Mayor Giuliani, and they're taking phone calls about that. That was more focused on the special counsel, Bob Mueller, and that back and forth going on, negotiating, going on about interviews with the president, what the information that becomes. We are still getting a light shed on how we even got here. And John Solomon from The Hill is joining us now on the broadcast, live with us. John, thanks for being with us. You wrote a broke news about how the DOJ official Bruce Orr continued to help DIM researchers on the Trump-Russia case even after Christopher Steele gets fired. But, I mean, they were working directly. I just want you to walk through this news that you have broken these last 24 hours.
Yeah, great to be with you, Jordan.
Thank you,
John. Yeah, you're right. So for about the first 18 months of this investigation, we were all under the illusion that the FBI was the only one working with Christopher Steele. And once the FBI fired Christopher Steele, he was out of the picture. He may have poisoned the well or certainly started the information with his dossier, which remains unverified and mostly unverified and has been discredited, you know, by people like James Comey. But we kind of thought that was the window in which Christopher Steele had his influence over the investigation. And what we now see is that Bruce Orr, the number four official in the Justice Department, the Associate Deputy Attorney General, under both Sally Yates, that was Obama's appointee, and then Rod Rosenstein, that's President Trump's appointee, he was meeting before with Steele, before the Steele ever approached the FBI, and then all during the period when Steele was providing information to the FBI. And then when Steele was fired by the FBI because he improperly leaked, which violates the human intelligence source rules of the FBI, and Steele was supposed to never again gather information for the FBI. That's what the firing document says. All of a sudden, Bruce Orr starts meeting with Steele and becomes a backdoor conduit to keep feeding his dossier information to the FBI, who is not supposed to be receiving this information anymore. And we're talking about 60-plus contacts between a senior Justice Department official, who, by the way, has no counterintelligence responsibility, right, doesn't belong in the counterintelligence chain of command, and he's filtering this information to the FBI. And in these conversations, you can see hints of the political nature of what they're trying to do, particularly Steele's biases and his desire to defeat Trump or to keep the investigation going against Trump after he's president for c- counterintelligence professionals that I talk to, people who worked in this business for 20, 30 years, this is very troubling. They call it a breach in the chain of command, a breach in the chain and custody of information. It's not the way counterintelligence investigations are going, or should be run. And it really points to the evidence that your dad and Mayor Giuliani and Chairman Nunes have said, which is this was not an ordinary counterintelligence investigation. It was poisoned by politics and unusual behavior by the FBI agents and perhaps by this justice official that was an intermediary. So it's an important development. It's amazing. It took 18 months to get this out there, but people like Chairman Nunes and Chairman Grassley and Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan have fought hard to get this information extracted from the Justice Department, and we're now getting a much clearer picture of what was going on.
So you got text messages, emails, actual in-person meetings confirmed in those. I just want to go back to the point. I mean, literally, so they're at the Mayflower Hotel. It's pretty well-known, a very well-known hotel in Washington, D.C., and even outside of Washington, D.C. They're in the lobby. You've got Bruce Sohr, who's at the DOJ, his wife, who's working for the Oppo Research, which, again, not unusual in politics to have opposition research firms being paid for by a political party. But again, the wife working there, there's some issues there. They probably could have worked on that if they weren't working together with the former British spy. And then the day later is we believe Peter Strzok opens the investigation.
He does, July 31st. So let's put some dates together. They're really fun dates. July 1st, Christopher Steele and Orr have a contact, and they're trying to set up a phone conference because he has something to talk to him about their quote-unquote favorite business tycoon, close quote, most likely a reference to Donald Trump. It is 4 days later that Steele walks in unsolicited to the FBI in Rome and first drops his information saying, I think I have evidence that Donald Trump is colluding with the Russians to hijack the election. So 4 days before, Bruce Orr is there having the conversation. Then you go ahead a little bit more to the end of that month, July 30th, 2016, and there is Bruce Orr meeting with his wife, an employee of Fusion GPS, with Christopher Steele, the soon-to-be informant of the FBI. And it is 1 day before the FBI's Peter Strzok opens up the investigation. Go ahead 3 more weeks, August 22nd, 2016. We're in the dead of summer. The fall election campaign is about to happen. It's 100 days out from Election Day. There is Bruce Orr meeting with Glenn Simpson, the Fusion GPS founder, and Christopher Steele's boss on this dossier project. And they're exchanging information. And we can carry this all the way through. I'm going to have a story, hopefully tonight, that will move the ball forward a lot about a contact between Bruce Orr and Glenn Simpson that will open a lot of people's eyes. It's right after the election. Donald Trump has won. The FBI has fired Steele. This should all be over with, right? They've moved on from the dossier and Steele. And here is Glenn Simpson meeting again with Bruce Orr. And this conversation, which is captured in handwritten notes, is one you're going to want to see. It really opens our eyes to what was going on. It really shines light on the fact that there was a last-minute effort before the election was over to get Trump defeated using this information. And then there's an exchange of information to the Justice Department that is not the sort of way that counterintelligence information is normally gathered. I think when people see that, they'll get a little better sense of all of this shenanigans that were going on the sidelines of what should have been a serious counterintelligence investigation.
And so that piece, are we looking for that one for our folks listening to the broadcast, John, and looking for that to be on thehill.com?
Thehill.com.
Yep. All right. So let me ask you, so that's coming out. So folks, breaking a little news, getting a little a tease, because this is not over. I mean, because this piece kind of gets to what you've been discussing in the news and your piece in the last 24 hours has really been, or less than 24 hours, has been also kind of getting to that post-election time, just to right after that post-election time period. But we know, can confirm through what you've reported, the documents obtained, John, as well, that Peter Strzok uses Bruce Orr to continue using Christopher Steele, even though Peter Strzok, though the DOJ oversees the FBI, I mean, directly has got to know that the FBI has got this termination agreement with Christopher Steele saying, you can no longer do work on behalf of the FBI. So then he goes to Steele. I mean, this is all within the same department. DOJ oversees the FBI. And so he's using, John, Bruce Orr, And we all know about Peter Strzok. We talked about that a lot on this broadcast. But he's using Bruce Orr to continue the relationship with Christopher Steele.
Yeah, there's a great moment in the summer of 2017. The investigation is now about a year old. The president's been in office for about 6 months. And there is a series of conversations where Christopher Steele is convinced that Bruce Orr is going to help him get back into the good graces of the FBI. He's going to get back working with the FBI. They use the term re-engagement. And their goal is to get Steele working for Special Counsel Mueller. You can see it in there. This is a story I broke last night. I talked about it on Hannity. It is extraordinary that on the Trump Justice Department's watch, on Rod Rosenstein's watch, because at that point, Orr was no longer working for the Obama administration. He was working in the office of Rod Rosenstein, that they would be working together, conspiring together on a way to get Steele back in to help Mueller. Now, whether that happened or not, it's not clear. No one will answer. But we do know that Steele's information was going to Orr to the FBI, and then the FBI obviously would be giving it to Mueller. So we know at least the information was flowing to Mueller. But this was even in a more audacious plan, which is they thought they could literally get Steele working again as an informer, as an informant. And that played out over a 6 month period.
I mean, Josh,
it uses Mueller's name. It uses Mueller's name, in the notes.
I just retweeted that article, folks. That's at Jordan Secular. We've got John Solomon live. John, we've only got a minute left this segment. TheHill.com, sure. Where we'd be. And so you expect, again, to be breaking more news on this later on today. And explain that for people, because we're going to be – it's kind of moving the time frame forward, because it's a lot of info in each piece. I mean, we're walking through for people now in a segment. There is so much here that's just getting to Bob. I mean, this is all kind of leading up to Bob Mueller, the appointment and the basis of that. But you expect to be breaking more news later on today at The Hill.
I do, and I think all of these stories at the end will raise the question, was the FISA court, the court that was approving the surveillance of the Trump campaign, really aware of how the FBI was conducting this investigation? If they weren't, it's a major violation of the law.
John Solomon, opinion contributor at TheHill.com. That is the Hill again, folks. And John, we appreciate you being on the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure, folks, as John just announced for all of you that are listening, to continue to follow closely. We'll follow it closely as well and get it on our social media platforms. More breaking news expected later on this evening. On this continued relationship, Bruce Orr and Glenn Simpson, which is another level of not just indirect involvement with your wife working as a consultant for Glenn Simpson, but now the direct relationship with a DOJ official. And as John points out, this transfers over to a Trump Department of Justice official who continues this relationship. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We really appreciate John Solomon, who's been breaking so much news in the last 24 hours. And not moving past how did we get to the point of a special counsel? I mean, how did we get there? I mean, I think it's been, you know, Jim Comey's leak, where Jim Comey said, I did this in the hopes of getting a special counsel. But that was not all. We now know so much more was going on behind the scenes. That could have been an icing on the cake. That could have been the tipping point. But there were so many people working to undermine the president before he became president of the United States. I'm talking within the government. Before he became president of the United States and continuing. I mean, that is what is even more bold, is that they pull over opposition research. I worked on three presidential campaigns and a number of state and local races. Opposition research, paying these firms to do this, not unusual. Well, what would be really unusual is the Department of Justice helping you do it, you know, and the FBI helping you do it for a campaign, or the FBI coming to the campaign saying, oh, I want to use this to open up investigation months before the election. I'm going to continue it on, too, because I just don't like this president, because we know that from Peter Strzok, and we're not making that up about him. We know what he said about President Trump specifically and Lisa Page, and they were all involved in this. And it's not the salacious side of their relationship we're talking about. It's their professional relationship. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to our first call of the day, and then we'll discuss this further. Jane is in North Carolina on line one. Jane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You are on the air.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate everything, as always, that you and everybody does for our country.
Thank you, Jane.
Real quick is Main Street Media. John Solomon wants to get more things out. I believe everything, and I, you know, watch, you know, and do my research. But when you're dealing with your other Main Street Media that doesn't get the info out, how do we get it across when family members don't believe you? But how do we get information across?
I think John is in a unique role because of the news source outlet he works for as an opinion contributor. It's The Hill. The Hill, which is a very Washington, D.C. in the sense that it is all over Capitol Hill. I mean, in the days of, you know, and it's still hard copies. Every congressional office is getting the copies. It's on the corner of every place. I mean, it has got a lot of info in D.C., unrelated to, not always, by the way, like breaking news, but a lot of things that would not make it to your local newspaper or even a New York Times, Washington Post, because it's more about specifics going on within Congress. And sometimes it's about, you know, you'll see a lot of military weaponry and those kind of issues on that are very D.C. focused. So already you've got a news source, which I retweeted it. So if you go to @JordanSekulow right now, you could see John's tweets. They're coming out of The Hill. So they're not, and then you get the information out through, you know, he was on with Sean Hannity. We get it out through our broadcast, reaching both a Christian radio audience, conservative radio audience. And for purposes of influencing, you know, family members and people who are involved, this is, I think, you know, I think what you're getting to is November. Also, is a lot of, you know, the impact on the elections potentially. These are base low turnout elections and midterm elections. People that don't want to believe this will not believe it. People that do will. But I think that for what you need to know is that if you are trying to explain it to your family members, you have John's piece, which is three and a half pages when printed out from The Hill, that you can take that and utilize it. And I think he broke it down very well. Now, I'll go to both Andy and Harry on this. These are not uncomplicated matters. I mean, this is not like, these are, you have to follow the dates closely because the dates are very important. When things happen, you know, a meeting at a hotel lobby, probably having coffee or tea, and the next day someone who wasn't there but was communicating with you opens up an investigation on a presidential candidate. And that is no small, a small decision to make at the FBI. And then people getting fired, people but still being utilized, Russian oligarchs involved in this, on this side of the dossier, we now know. And that has been in the reporting as well. It is not, That's why we take our long form broadcast to go through this, because in 5 minutes is tough.
It is. It's an immensely complicated puzzle that John Solomon is putting together. I think doing a magnificent job of putting together. I've only recently looked at his piece, and he's got it by date, time, place, and he has really gone through the research and the documents that, as he mentioned, Chairman Nunez, the Congressman Jordan, and the others who, and Chairman Grassley, have been desperately trying to get these documents out of the government throughout the past many, many months. And finally, these documents have finally been released, and he can now piece together the parts of the puzzle. But what it shows is the thing that alarms me so much, and that is so distressing to me, is the corruption within the Department of Justice. Here is a government agency and the FBI that I served when I was an assisting United States attorney in the Northern District of Georgia that had a flawless reputation. And now you've got somebody like Bruce Orr communicating with a person who has been cut off as a source of information. He knows that. He's Sally Yates' principal deputy, and he continues to use this discredited source of information to gather up information which is really intended to affect the presidential campaign. This is not what the Department of Justice is supposed to be doing, and I find it abhorrent.
It's also bizarre to me. I don't want to get into the news about the congressman from New York specifically, because I have no idea whether or not what the accusations are against him are. I think that I've seen even colleagues of his that are very close to him from his, you know, from the neighboring district say how serious they are. But it's a bit suspicious when it's all these people tied to President Trump early on, that these folks, and again, that seem to be just, that is the focus of the entire Department of Justice these days. Is anybody tied to Donald Trump? Because you supported Donald Trump. And so, you know, these are the people we're going to focus on. But we got this comment coming in, and 1-800-684-3110. I know we had out John in the last segment of the broadcast. We are going to take phone calls. We got a second half hour coming up. That's 1-800-684-3110. Harry, Judy on Facebook wrote in, so is the bottom line that these folks at the positions of power in the Department of Justice, they believe they're above the law?
Well, I think essentially that is correct. And so the question that our listeners should ask themselves is this question: why was this unorthodox investigation by the FBI, the DOJ, launched in the first place? So, for instance, if we focus on Bruce Orr, he does not have a counterintelligence role. So he was used as a conduit for counterintelligence, despite the fact that he really has no legitimate role in that arena. And then shortly after meeting with Christopher Steele, guess what? Peter Strzok launches a counterintelligence investigation into Donald Trump and his campaign. Shortly thereafter, Christopher Steele walks into an FBI office in Rome and delivers unverified information that led eventually to the appointment of a special counsel. These are the questions.
Folks, we've got a second half hour coming up. If you don't get on your local station, which most of you do now, then you can head over to our Facebook pages and get the broadcast. It continues. Discussions continue during the break. But we've got, I really want to take phone calls now. I mean, I think we've kind of laid this out. But if you got questions about what we just laid out, which was a lot of information to do on a live radio broadcast, for a half hour, to clarify it for you, if you got questions about it, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Back on our second half hour in just a minute on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. John Solomon from The Hill just joining us in the last segment of the broadcast. I've got our team in here as well today as my dad is on the road. John Solomon's piece yesterday, how a senior DOJ official, that's Bruce Orr, helped Democrat researchers on Trump-Russia case. And that is Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson, Christopher Steele, you know, these names that we have learned about. Let me read you this exchange, because this gets into the summer of last year, literally about exactly a year ago. This is between Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele. They thought they were encrypted here. This information has finally been turned over to Congress and made public, so we're able to get this information. Hi, Bruce. Hope you're well. So this is Christopher Steele getting some holiday with the family. So it's summer. This was a year ago, almost 2 days ago. Whenever convenient, I would like a chat. There's a lot going on, and we're frustrated with how long this re-engagement with the Bureau and Mueller is taking. Anything you could do to accelerate the process would be much appreciated. There are some new perishable operational opportunities which we do not want to miss out on. Best to all, Chris. Bruce, Chris, good to hear from you. Would tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. D.C. time work for you? Thanks. So that is what John Solomon was pointing to, and he says there's more on that coming, because then Bruce Orr, he's got written notes on a meeting between that have been made available, I guess, to the congressional investigators. Written notes. So they were even being more careful at that point when Bruce Orr sits down with Glenn Simpson, who is leading the Oppo research arm of Fusion GPS. But I want you to understand now, we were told you it leads up to Mueller. At that point, Andy Mueller had been in power for a couple of months.
Yeah, since May. So what he's trying to do now is to see if he can infect the Mueller investigation, yeah, which I think has been infected from the beginning. I mean, we've said this is an investigation that has all the hallmarks of infection. But now you got a discredited person, a scam artist, a spy, a person who's been discredited by the FBI, seeing how he can get in to the Mueller investigation and do something to that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, that is key, is now we're getting, as we walk through this timeline, we're getting to Mueller. Let's take a phone call right off the bat, and we are taking calls throughout this segment. I think there's going to be a lot of questions here. There's a lot of information here. So we just got into another piece of this. The next year, Christopher Steele wants money from Mueller. I mean, basically, he wants to be a paid informant somehow again to that. Peter Strzok, all those people, you know, they're trying to utilize this. And it's not just friends trying to help friends. These are people that have motives here. I mean, this is not like trying or continuing a relationship with someone who maybe got let go from a company in a personal capacity. That's not the case here. This is continuing the work side of the relationship and kind of covering it with the personal hope all as well. I mean, it's all about money and work and undermining President Trump. Carol called in from Colorado on line one. Carol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello.
Hey, Carol.
So my question is, are we ever going to see anybody get prosecuted for any garbage they're pulling?
I don't want to make statements about specific individuals. I think it's very complicated right now at the Department of Justice, because the Attorney General recused himself. You have a Deputy Attorney General. You've got a special counsel. Bruce Orr did get demoted. I mean, to he lost his big title, which was the Assistant Deputy Attorney General position. But he did not lose his division head, which means I don't think his income was affected at all. He's literally, unless he's traveling today at some regional office, he's at the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. in his perch as one of the top officials there as we speak right now. And his wife, for all we know, is still on the payroll of she was a consultant, but is doing Oppo research for Democrat firms like Fusion GPS. I mean, just, that is the kind of sickening part of this, right? Is you would think that they would leave, honestly. You would think Bruce Orr would be like, okay, I'm out the door on this one. And, you know, go get involved in partisan politics if you want when you're done with the Department of Justice. But no, they sit on their perches and they continue again, I think, as we saw up until at least a year ago. We're trying to get Christopher Steele rehired by Bob Mueller. And we're not sure exactly what happened there, is what you heard from John Solomon. We don't know if that, because that is separate from his role when it was the FBI. I mean, that's hanging out there now. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I think yesterday on the broadcast, and again, we're not getting into content of responses and back and forth negotiations going on between the president's outside, legal team and Bob Mueller and the special counsel, but you know that response was written it was offered by them. Let's roll it. This is my dad with Laura Ingraham live. On our broadcast yesterday, we had Mayor Giuliani and my dad live on the broadcast together. Then both of them back to back live on Fox News. Take a listen to my dad. He kind of addresses this because I don't want to leave this out there for people. I think it's better to hear it directly from him than just me repeating it.
This is an investigation that at its outset has been corrupt. There's no question about that. It continues every single day. There seems to be a new revelation. So I'm not going to give a date. I think it needs to end very soon. Look at how this started. It starts with the dossier from a foreign spy, basically, Christopher Steele. He was an intelligence officer for Great Britain. He puts together this dossier on behalf of who? Fusion GPS and the DNC. Okay. Another interesting fact, and now we're getting a lot more information on that, the number four at the Justice Department, Bruce Orr's wife, is working for Fusion GPS with Christopher Steele, putting together this dossier. That's how this investigation commenced. So as you know in the law, there's the doctrine of the fruit of the poisonous tree, and I think that anything going forward here has to keep all of that in context and in mind before we agree to do anything. If you lined up 100 lawyers, there's 100 lawyers that are going to say, don't sit for an interview. And there's a reason for that. Not just the perjury issue, but the fact that you would ask questions potentially of the president regarding Article II powers. I mean, you're a constitutional lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
The answer to that is no.
Yeah, they want more information, more documents. That would be a big, big fight.
This legal team is not walking this president to a perjury trap. Not going to happen. If there's any type of interview, whether it's written or otherwise, it will be the appropriate type of response. We're not letting the president walk into a perjury trap. This investigation from its outset, who would allow that in light of everything that's transpired and continues to transpire? So I'm not going to disclose the content. As you understand, I'm not going to disclose what we told the special counsel. But needless to say, we didn't accept their offer.
Okay, I am holding in my hand. I just want people to know, because in that discussion with my dad, I wanted his words as a lead counsel for the president to speak for itself on the responses. And we're taking phone calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And you know, I don't want to get so far to it's too tough for everyone to follow, but I think this is very important. I'm holding in my hands right now, so if you watch on Facebook and Periscope, you see Christopher Steele's termination notice as an outside provider of information to the FBI. This comes in early November, so sometime either right after or right before the election in 2016. August of 2017. So the election far from over. He has been terminated by the FBI. And by the way, the termination ends with, additionally, handling agent advised that Christopher Steele was not to operate to obtain any intelligence whatsoever on behalf of the FBI. Christopher Steele, they thought they were being real fancy by using WhatsApp, and trying to encrypt their messages. Christopher Steele and Bruce Orr. This is, again, we're talking about last summer, so after the election. Christopher Steele, hi, Bruce, hope you're well and getting some holidays with the family. So remember, Christopher Steele's terminated by the FBI at this point. He's not making money from them. Whenever convenient, I would like a chat. There's a lot going on, and we... Now, this is interesting as well. Is we Fusion GPS? Is we Christopher Steele? I mean, who is we here? Not I, but we are frustrated with how long this re-engagement with the Bureau and Mueller is taking. Now, is we Christopher Steele's company? I mean, there's so many issues there because we talk about him so much in an individual capacity, but the we word is interesting. We are frustrated with how long this re-engagement with the Bureau, so the FBI, but not just that, and Bob Mueller is taking, it says Mueller is taking. So he actually puts Mueller there, not special counsel, but Mueller. And anything you could do to accelerate this process would be much appreciated. There's some new perishable operational opportunities we do not want to miss out on. Best to all, Chris. Bruce Orr writes right back, Chris, good to hear from you. Maybe he was able to be getting a little bit smarter here. And said, let's talk on the phone about this tomorrow at 9 a.m. D.C. time work for you. Thanks. John Solomon from The Hill, who has been reporting so thoroughly on this news, has now left the door open live on this radio broadcast in the last segment to not having yet a definitive answer, which you would think, though the special counsel's office does not put out a lot of press statements, that even and maybe an off record just to clarify that, because this is not good to hang out there, so something that just to get out definitively. But obviously it has not occurred yet to those reporters like John Solomon who would be in contact there or trying to reach out. Just to clarify, did Bob Mueller and his team ever sit down with Christopher Steele? Did they re-engage him financially? But I don't even think it's about the financial side. Did they even sit down with Christopher Steele to talk through this dossier, which I think was probably step one if it occurred, and John Solomon, Harry, did not close the door to that.
Absolutely. And so,
in fact, he opened the door to it.
If Christopher Steele re-engaged with the special counsel as an informant, it is clear and unmistakable evidence that the entire special counsel investigation, in my opinion, has been poisoned fatally, because we have an individual who has been terminated by the FBI. Why? Because he has provided unreliable information. And so that then potentially infects the special counsel's investigation. So we don't know. I'm certainly looking forward to reading John Solomon's article today, but it's very possible that Bruce Orr was the surreptitious contact for continuing to feed information both to the FBI and potentially to the special counsel. If that happened, that is evidence of collusion on a grand scale within the Department of Justice, and it calls for the immediate and unconditional termination by the Justice Department officials that were involved.
Well, I've said this day and age, it has been, honestly, at this point, the investigators who have almost become the investigated, in a sense that the ones who have been named publicly, the more when the public finds out and reporters just do their job, not one of them has survived untarnished. I mean, I think that maybe the only one on paper is Bob Mueller, because he's not sending text messages back and forth with people at his position level, because he's got deputies doing that and people like Peter Strzok who are doing that he ultimately terminated for him. So, I mean, it's not him that is making those. But, I mean, literally everybody else leading up to this, they're losing their jobs. They're being demoted. They are being called before oath. I mean, I think they do face serious legal issues down the road, potentially. And this is not even to get into the Jim Comey matter. But let me – we have another segment coming up so we can get phone calls in on this specific. Christopher Steele potentially working with the Bob Mueller team? I mean, John Solomon just opened that door on Jay Sekulow Live. And he's, you know, that's coming later on thehill.com because obviously Bruce Orr was pushing for it. What would that mean? I mean, I don't think it matters if it was a financial relationship. But if they were utilizing him at all, I mean, this is someone who has been fired by the FBI because he could not be trusted because he leaked information. This is someone who was then utilized by Peter Schrock, who was fired from the special counsel's team because Peter Schrock was still using Christopher Steele through Bruce Orr. And so, I mean, just one of the many reasons. If this is the case, I mean, again, irregularities is a word used. Poisoned goes to the next step. You know, irregularities to poison. And I think that all of this coming together, you're getting closer and closer to that. I think that when you shed the light on the swamp doesn't look so good. And these individuals were used to being able to do this under, you know, previous administrations and maybe before technology and maybe before people could track this. And they thought no one would come looking at what they were doing, how they got to this point of deciding to open up investigations on presidential candidates and then continue those even after they're elected. And what was the basis of it? And they're, you know, who's joining what team? Who's getting let go? When did they let go? What happened with the work that they did? I mean, there's so many questions to answer. Now, some of you may ask, why is this not raised yet? Remember, I mean, this is still so far, it could just be a report that ultimately gets written. And so, you know, you go to the point of saying, where do you go? Where do you go? And I think that that is, again, something we, when my dad is back on, we can get into more of that. I think that the fact that these doors are being open is unbelievable. And I want to take, I guess, is anything unbelievable these days with this investigation? Maybe not. I mean, it just seems like it's more and more you would be like, okay, if Christopher Steele got fired, you would stay so far away from him as an individual. But, you know, his wife had a financial relationship interest in this relationship continuing. So did Christopher Steele. But this referring to we, more information, re-engagement with the Bureau, but not just the Bureau, Bob Mueller specifically. So Christopher Steele, did he work with Bob Mueller? I mean, John Solomon, I'm not opening that door. I want to let all of you know that. I have no information about that. We don't have any information about that specifically. John Solomon, who is an investigative reporter at The Hill, who joined us live in the first half hour, opened that door because where did that conversation go when it went to the phone? And what relationship, if any, has there been? Because we know Strzok had the relationship with Christopher Steele working through Bruce Orr, and he was on the special counsel's team until he got exposed as someone so conflicted he could no longer be there. But by the way, you're still paying his salary as well. So this is the world we live in and why we are fighting aggressively and educating you. When we come back, we take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online aclj.org.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. In this segment of the broadcast, we have gotten a lot of information, a lot of facts, a lot of dates, a lot of names. I know that all of you who are listening right now have followed this very closely. But again, you've got your life, you've got your jobs, you've got your family. And it kind of goes into the news heavily. It comes out, back in, back out, unless you watch MSNBC. And it's basically all you see. This is not spin that we've. This is not spin. We're just reporting facts at this point. We're reporting literally. I mean, what I'm holding in my hand is just Bruce Orr talking with Christopher Steele. It's not like I'm making comment there. I'm just reading it, and Christopher Steele talking about going to work for Bob Mueller after he got fired 6 months before that from the FBI for leaking. But so the relationship continued. Peter Strzok opened investigations day after meeting with Nelly and Bruce and Christopher Steele at the Mayflower Hotel. But the focus of this segment, taking the phone calls, and those of you who've been holding on to get your questions in. So let's do that right now. We're going to go in order of people who have called in. Mike and Dennis were close, but we got to go to Mike first. He's 10 seconds ahead. Mike in Iowa on line one. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Mike.
I'll state it real quick and then get off and listen. With all the not far down the hill from the top guys that are in the covert agencies and the Department of Justice and what have you, having been firmly entrenched in the Obama administration's agendas, can Trump do anything about getting them out and shaking up the pot and get it more in order? See you later.
It's a great question. So I think some of those bureaucratic steps, but that's the key, bureaucratic steps have been taken. But I think what happened under the Obama administration is, I said this the day that Jeff Sessions' nomination was going forward, and I think there's a lot of issues there. I don't want to get into all of them, but the recusal has kind of complicated a lot of this because you got these officials, but if you fully enforce that recusal, you can't really get involved because all of it relates back to this. But we even said he had one of the toughest jobs because he had an agency that got weaponized politically and an agency where, and I will tell you from our IRS cases and dealing with the FBI there, we dropped. We said no more because we couldn't figure out if the FBI was coming after the conservative groups being targeted by what was the issue really going on here. So it got weaponized in the Obama administration where you could barely draw lines or at all between bureaucrats and political appointees. So you have political appointees that come in, they serve at the pleasure of the president. They can be removed at any time by the president for any reason at all and replaced. But then you have the bureaucracy. And the bureaucracy leads up into, number four kind of positions like Bruce Orr. So he loses the big title, which is the political appointee title, which he was keeping, for a period of time. But he doesn't lose his bureaucratic job, which is to oversee an entire division at the Department of Justice. And to me, I think Andy and Harry, you both comment on this, but that is what makes it more difficult, is that these are bureaucrats, and the laws that are in place make it almost so difficult to get rid of these folks. Sometimes I wonder why would they still be in these? Why do they want to stay in the firing line? But again, I think they have other motives, and they're not just economic. But they're political as well.
Well, that's the exercise of power, Jordan. You got an entrenched deep state bureaucracy, someone like Bruce Orr, who comes in under the radar because he's an entrenched bureaucrat. He's been there forever, and he's like so many of them. They survive. The political appointees are transient, but the other ones remain, and they stay in there. And the fact that they can exercise this enormous power over what happens in the everyday, day-to-day working of the Department of Justice or the FBI makes it something that's attractive to them, and they stay there. And you look at somebody like Bruce Orr. He's no longer Associate Deputy AG, but now he's head of some organized crime strike force or drug task force or whatever. He still exercises enormous power, but he's obviously corrupt. He's a corrupt person. I'd like to see him kicked out, but it's not that easy to do.
Yeah, it's not. There's a very many step process. It almost seems like to the point where you've got to be first criminally prosecuted before you lose your job. I mean, not just charged, but prosecuted before you lose your job as a bureaucrat.
I think that is very, very true. But I also think that the attorney general and Deputy Rod Rosenstein need to exercise maximum discretion. So it strikes me that you could move at least many of these officials outside of Washington to some obscure part of the United States where it would minimize the damage that they are able to do going forward.
Yeah, they don't have the, and they don't have the power to wield. So guess what? You know, I mean, Bruce Orr is this contact with Christopher Steele that he's worked on. He's a former spy. He's developing relationships with people and making them feel like they're friends. I have no idea if they actually really were, just because they met his wife. You know, Bruce Orr's wife has an economic relationship in it. You take him out of Washington, D.C., Christopher Steele ain't contacting Bruce Orr anymore. There's not, because it's no longer to his benefit. Because really what Christopher Steele was getting at here was money also. I mean, there's part of this was he's a paid gun for hire. Not so weird in political opposition research. Very weird in opening up, using that research and opening up inquiries by the FBI that ultimately lead to these special counsel as well. Let's continue to take the phone calls and get these last two calls in before we finish out the broadcast today. Let's go to Dennis in Alabama on line two. Dennis, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Dennis.
I'll be as quick as I can here. You keep talking about collusion. I have yet to find myself or hear anyone else say where collusion is a crime. That's people working together. Let's call it what it is. It was a conspiracy. And considering they violated the FBI law rules, they violated the laws, they've lied to the federal court system, doesn't this whole mess, working against a legally elected government of the United States, doesn't that work towards sedition?
You know, I think what it gets to, I don't want to go that far. I mean, that again, because I don't know how long that these guys have been operating this way and feeling like they could get away with this. And I think that we live in extremely, somewhat polarized time, though. I think the media tries to refocus more of our attention on that. I will say this. It did not stop in one branch. We don't have time right now. We got a minute and 30 seconds left. I want to take the final call of the day. It's been holding on. So, Jesse, we're about to get to you. But remember, those FISA judges as well. I mean, how much were they misled? But remember, they had the personal relationship with Peter Strzok as well. I mean, so how much were they misled? And that's one thing. And that would still be on the FBI and DOJ by this dossier and this information that was presented to them. And how much were they in on it? That would involve two branches of government. So, I mean, this aspect of this part of it is going to take a lot longer than Bob Mueller's investigation should, because this is going deep, deep into the U.S. government at levels of people. And you see, if you want it, it doesn't matter if you're talking on WhatsApp. The government can get it. And so we can get all this information. The investigators can get all this information. But are you going to let the investigators investigate themselves? Because that's what the DOJ oversees the FBI. I mean, so it – talk about – When special counsels may be needed, and we've talked about that before, the idea of a potential need for a second special counsel to investigate the issues, because they are so infected within the Department of Justice. That's really when you get special counsels, is because you can't trust investigators to investigate themselves. They're conflicted, even if the ones who are good people. It's not right to put them in that position for the people they work with every day face to face. So you take people from the outside. Again, lots of discussion points you go with, but I hope we covered a lot of information. Make sure to check out thehill.com later today, as John Solomon kind of broke some news that he's got more information coming. That's thehill.com. He is an opinion editor there. We will talk to you tomorrow on Jay Secchio Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.